Hello everyone, welcome to the Joking Dolphin Gaming Pod. I'm Mark, and as always, I'm joined by Matthew.
Hello.
And not Nathan.
Not Nathan? Where is he?
He's run off on his Ollie Bobs.
He's scampered off to Turkey, last I heard.
And he seems like he's done an awful lot of drinking. That seems to be the only thing he seems to have done.
That's what you do on your holiday, don't you? Drink.
Yeah, but all his pictures are just alcohol-based, from what I've seen.
Come on. Even when he's home, it's all alcohol-based. So.
Well, there's a...
There might be a sign there, I'm not
true
sure.
Story. True story. All right, should we get into the news then?
Yeah, let's get into the news.
Right, shall we start with... Should we try and get some bad news out of the way? Because it seems like there's quite a bit this week.
This week wasn't a great lot of good news.
Shall I kick off with Ubisoft?
Ooh, Ubisoft. All right, what's happening there?
Now, Ubisoft are bad news, you know.
Well,
not straight
hand hands.
Exactly. So now they've caused more controversy. So they delisted the game The Crew at the end of December last year.
Yes, I heard about this.
And then subsequently the game servers were shut down at the end of March this year. But now Ubisoft has gone one step further, and too far, many might say. They've actually started revoking players' licenses for the game.
Ooh,
so you don't actually own the game anymore. So when players attempted to access the game, they were greeted with the message, "You no longer have access to this game. Why not check the store to pursue your adventures?" That's a strange message to pop up.
Yeah.
But this just furthers this this concept that with digital games, we appear to not own anything, despite the amount of money we might have spent on them.
That doesn't set a very good precedence if game companies can revoke your license even though you have paid full price for it.
Yeah.
You should own the license for it.
I mean, with this being an Ubisoft game, you probably had one of those gold editions that they always come out with for every game. So you could be talking £100 you might have spent on this game at some point.
Well, yeah.
So it's like, nah. We're having that back. It's not yours.
Well,
it's a bit of a scummy practice.
It is, but I wonder, like, what will this say in the future for... I suppose with The Crew, it was a online-only game, pretty much. Like, you couldn't play offline. The whole point was that you may have races around the states of America.
Yeah.
And you race them, and you won parts or credits or stuff like that. But for games of this ilk, where you have to have an online connection, I suppose what can they really do over there? I suppose putting the resources into making it an offline experience. But I suppose to them, is it worth doing that, or as they seem to have gone down the route of just revoke people's licenses now and don't have access to it.
It begs the question that shouldn't be the starting point anyway.
No, I agree. I agree with that. I'm sure if someone else is here, they'd probably throw up a counterpoint. But yeah, we are looking at a dangerous moment in gaming at the moment. I think where perseverance of gaming doesn't seem to be on the thinking caps of our developers at the moment, or companies. Especially stuff like this, like, no one is going to be able to play The Crew now. Like, I'd be interested to sort of install my version on PlayStation 4 and see if I can get any sort of access to it, or if it's just going to tell me no. I don't like it.
But it doesn't surprise me that it's Ubisoft.
Yeah, you'd think someone like EA would probably do this first, but...
Well, speaking of EA...
Oh.
Do you have an EA Play subscription?
I do, yes.
Ah, well. This might affect you, then. So okay. EA have now announced that they are going to be raising the price of their EA Play subscription service.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Now, do you have what's tier? Do you have a standard tier or a pro tier? What do you have?
Ooh. I couldn't say
he doesn't know, ladies and gentlemen.
Probably, I'd like to think I'd probably just got the standard edition.
Okay. So, beginning from May 10th, that tier will change from, so it was originally £3.99 sterling per month. That will go up £5.99. So that's going up by £2. And then the annual fee, though, that's taking quite a jump. So that's going to be £19.99 in pounds sterling, and that's going to rise up to £35.99. That's quite a jump, isn't it? About £15. Is it £16?
How much? Just trying to think how much would it be monthly if you just totted that out.
Oh, if you just add them together from the...
I suppose it would be about 72? Roughly,
about
£6. I suppose annually you're still saving a good amount, but yeah.
But then, we'll get to the pro tier.
Oh.
So that was £14.99. And that's jumping up to £16.99. And the annual fee is rising from £89.99. to
£109.99. Yeesh. Mm. Yeah, that's a jump.
And do you get a lot? Do you get a lot of use out of your EA Play? Is there anything specifically that you play on it?
I used to. I don't think I've actually touched it for a while. Like I normally got it when it first came around. I would normally get it for like early access to FIFA and sort of discounts to FIFA points. And also, like, you got access to the like vault of old games and stuff. Like, so I remember because I had it on the PC as well. I got to access to some of the, like their old Command & Conquer games, Sims. I think Battlefront 2 as well appeared on there. Some of the Battlefield games as well. So I got usage on the PC side of stuff. But yeah, I think recently I've just not really touched it. So. Might be one for me to look at if I want to keep my subscription. Yeah. If it's going up like that.
I'd keep an eye on that if I were you.
I'll have to. Right, well, sticking with EA, got a couple of not so great news from some of their studios, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, they don't.
Right, so we know from this month. One of their most recent IPs that came out, Immortals of Avium, went to PS Plus. And it didn't perform too well, I think it's fair to say.
Which I think is a shame, being a new IP.
It is a shame, yeah. You want to see new IPs, new studios do well. I think with this one, I think it was probably just a little too ambitious for maybe a first game. I don't know.
I don't think it was particularly marketed very well, and I think it was also
quite
a cramped period, wasn't it?
True. I mean, it was kind of thrown in, it was August, and I'm trying to think of what came out around there. I think there was definitely a couple of games that took the shine away from it.
I mean, it's no shock for me here when they did the same with Titanfall 2, weren't it?
God. Well, yeah, luckily, Respawn at least bounced back as a studio with Apex Legends, but yeah, so basically kind of since then, the actual studio itself, Ascendant Studios, has essentially furloughed the majority of the staff.
Oh.
So it doesn't sound good. I mean, this has been reported by Nicole Carpenter over in Polygon, she collaborated with a former employee there. Reasons why? Not too sure, other than we just seem to know that a number of their staff has been put on furlough, so not good. I mean, apparently they'd already sort of laid off half of their staff about a month after Avium came out, so it's a furlough. Even more after that, like, that doesn't sound good as a studio. Sounds like a studio is probably not going to be existing soon. So that's a very big shame.
That's pretty atrocious, to be quite honest.
It's shocking, isn't it? Like, it's their first game. They've worked on it for a good number of years. a lot of passion probably went into it, you know, a lot of hard work as well.
The more I think about it, it's just like, why would anybody want to get into the games industry? It just seems to be constant bad news.
It really is.
Imagine having all these creative chops and all that, and then you put all your passion into a project, and then suddenly it's just this business. It's just like
business.
You're out. Person. It's like all these companies bang on about their creative aspirations and all that, but in the end, they don't care. They don't.
That's all about the shareholders, isn't it? It's got to keep us happy.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate, but they're not the only casualties when it comes to EA. There's one other studio that seems to have, well, I don't think absorbed, but they've been moved on to other projects now.
Okay.
So that is EA Motive.
Okay. So
they're the guys who made Star Wars Squadrons. And I can't remember what else was it recently. I think it was Dead Space, actually. I think it was the Dead Space remake. Yes, I think it was. Basically, a report has come out by a couple of different sources, one at Bloomberg and one at Giant Bomb. They seem to have collaborated their news together. Basically, since Dead Space came out and it didn't make the sales that EA wanted it to, now they've essentially moved Motive over onto being like a support developer for the next Battlefield.
Maybe EA needs to lower their expectations.
Hmm.
Because that was well received, wasn't it?
I think critically it was well received. I think it seemed to have been faithful to the remake, and also with the obviously quality of life adjustments made to the game, it seemed to did really well, at least critically. But commercially, apparently, it didn't make what they wanted, and that also, according to the report, essentially killed off any work on a Dead Space 2 remake that Motive wanted to go on to. So, it's not looking good over at EA, unfortunately. Yes.
I'm just not a fan of their practices at all.
No, it's just the way the industry is going at the moment. It's scary. I don't know how to change it.
I feel like we're just going to have another gaming crash at some point.
Maybe.
It seems like creativity is getting stifled. We're all going to get priced out of buying games at some point. The costs for producing games are becoming astronomical. Something's got to give at some point.
You think so? You think surely they've got to pull back costs at some point? Or we're just going to crash into a brick wall. It's not going to be great. Well, actually, speaking of costs as well, something I wanted to bring up, and this is more of a, maybe this might become more of a personal gripe.
Okay, I like personal gripes.
You like personal gripes. So, if you've been listening to this podcast, you know that I do like my Call of Duty.
You do?
Do like my pew-pews.
Shooty, shooty, bang, bang.
Yep. Although, I have to say, Modern Warfare 2 is a bit disappointing, and Modern Warfare 3, while the multiplayer seemed to have got back to pretty decent levels, the single player was nothing to shout about, really.
Not off.
yeah. And I will admit, I've partaken in some purchasing of bundles that I like every now and then.
Oh, no. What are you doing?
But I will say, there has come to a time where they probably take a little too far.
Okay.
I think this is probably the moment where, for me personally, I think they've taken a bit too far. So, over the last few weeks, they've had a collaboration with the new Godzilla X Kong film, which they did when Godzilla versus Kong came out a few years ago. You know, they did the whole Warzone event where you had Godzilla and Kong smashing around Caldera.
We joined in that, I remember.
Yeah, I thought it was quite fun. I think you
don't get it too well, but
I think you might have flew a plane into Kong or Godzilla, one of them. Yeah, I've done it plenty of times. So I thought it was quite fun. You know, they did some bundles there as well, which I personally partaked in because I thought it looked pretty cool. And there's, I think there's three of them. But I think I don't think I bought the, no, I might have bought all three actually, but they weren't that pricey at that point. They might have been about 12 to £15 each.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I like the cool, like look of them. So they got a new one in Modern Warfare 3. And they've got four different bundles. So there was one for Scar King. There's one for Shimu, the ancient titan that's in the film. Again, they've also got one for Kong, and they've got one for Godzilla. Now, each one separately costs around $20. I don't know how much in pounds. Might be around 15, 18 pounds, yeah. Something like that.
15, 16, I think, smaller.
Yeah, like you can get a bundle of like 2,400 coins, and each one costs around 2,000, I think, something like that. But they've done a special item in the game as well, which is all based on the beast glove that Kong wears in the film.
Okay.
Now, if you want to unlock this glove, you have to purchase all four bundles to get this one melee item. And at least in America, that would cost you $80, which is probably about as much as you would have paid for the game.
My word.
Just for this one item. It doesn't do anything special. It's just like any other melee weapon in the game. I think so. Two hits and you kill someone. I think it has its own special. Oh, what do they call them? They like executions, I suppose. Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're like, you can get animations and stuff if you hold the melee button when you're behind an enemy. You do like a special kill animation. And I think it's got one of those. But it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it.
No,
I don't
no.
Like. I was looking. I actually, when I knew they had the whole event going on, I was like, I'll update my Call of Duty and see what these bundles look like, because you know I was interested previously. These might be cool. But then when I saw this Kong thing, the Kong Beast glove, and it was like, oh, you need all four bundles for this. I'm like, no, I'm switching this off. I can't play Call of Duty when it's doing stuff like this. It's I don't understand it.
To be honest, I think $20 is still too much for each individual bundle.
True, true. I mean,
but then to basically paywall some shoddy melee weapon as well.
Yeah, I just.
You
know, as much as I love like Godzilla and stuff, this is not worth it.
Did they give a reason why they've done this, or it seems a bit random?
Oh, come on, you know what the reason would be. Money.
Well. Yeah, of course.
They know there's going to be enough people, even if they got influenced by it, which they probably have done, just to show it off. They'll have made some money there. But it's just like...
Oh. Yeah. It's the FOMO aspect in it. That's what they're doing.
Well,
I must have this glove.
And it's like, they do like certain events as well, where like, you know, if you play through the game, you collect X amount of XP... You unlock these like progression levels that unlock certain items as well. This links to Kong, Godzilla and Kong. I was like, why can't you just like put it behind that? Why is it going to be you got to buy these four bundles?
Yeah. Is there really in-game rewards? It seems.
No, but there's monetary rewards, isn't there? I suppose the only good thing I can take away from this is that none of these bundles are like pay-to-win stuff. You don't get like advantages from them, they're just cosmetics. But we are like getting to a limit of like how far we can take these cosmetics. I think it's so ridiculous.
See, that's the thing with games companies now, though. They're just pushing the envelope. They're just one more little thing, one more little aspect. And this, as I mentioned earlier, it's going to lead to a eventual crash where people are just going to say no.
I think so.
But as I say, Call of Duty in it. Everyone buys
Activision, isn't it?
Until people stop buying games like this. Because the thing is, every year people bang on saying, oh, I'm not going to get Call of Duty. You know, Always the same. It's always awful.
I'm pretty guilty of that.
Yeah, but this is the thing. I don't blame you. It's got you into that cycle of doing it. But it's got to come to a point where people have really got to just stop.
Yeah.
Buying it. And people can shout about it all they want. But nothing's going to change if you keep buying it.
Thing is, though, is like, even if you look at like the competitors to Call of Duty now, like look at Battlefield, they're doing something quite similar. They've got bundles and stuff. You know, you look at, I don't know what else you could look at as Call of Duty-esque. I mean, Fortnite, I suppose. I mean, it's not a direct compare, but, you know, they always do bundles, and I partake in those as well. Granted, not as expensive as Call of Duty, and they don't do this. Well, that's it. Like, you could argue that at least Fortnite is free to play. But then you can make the same argument that, like, well, Call of Duty Warzone's free to play. You don't have to have Modern Warfare 3 to play Warzone. So I think this is where the, like, big bundles have started coming in. But it's just, it's seeping in too much. You need to, like, turn the tap off and we need to reset.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's so bad.
I don't know how we go about doing that. But well, I just think eventually something's got to give.
Right, we got any good news?
So this past week we had the BAFTA Game Awards.
Oh, that's come round. That's quick.
It has. Did you watch the ceremony?
I've not. No, I didn't watch it. Was it good?
It was all right, yeah. There's some good speeches in there. Hosted by Phil Wang, comedian. Leave it home. Kind of started off a bit shaky, but he got better.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. But so there was 18 awards on offer, I believe, and a special award. Oh, there was a special award for a group called Special Effects, who make gaming peripherals for disabled people. Really good show. Good company. Very good. Well, shall we just run through the winners then?
Yeah, we can go through.
Okay. So, Best Animation was won by Hi-Fi Rush. Artistic Achievement by Alan Wake 2. Audio Achievement by Alan Wake 2. British Game, Viewfinder. Debut Game, Venba. Evolving Game, Cyberpunk 2077. I know. We'll get on to this.
I made this argument. The game was.
Family Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Game Beyond Entertainment, Cheer. Game Design, Dave the Diver. Multiplayer, Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Music, Baldur's Gate 3. Narrative, Baldur's Gate 3. New Intellectual Property, Viewfinder. Performer in a Leading Role, Naji Jeter as Miles Morales in Marvel Spider-Man 2.
Very nice, well done.
Performer in a Supporting Role, Andrew Wincott as Raphael in Baldur's Gate 3. Technical Achievement, The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. EE Player's Choice, Baldur's Gate 3. And Best Game, Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh,
probably unsurprisingly. Let's just run through some of them. Any surprises or any shocks? I mean, Naji Jeter, I think that came as a bit of a surprise. He performed with a leading role.
Yeah, I thought Neil Newbun would have had it bang on, to be honest, because he's been picking him everywhere.
Like, considering all the Baldur's Gate love that's been going on, this is interesting that I noticed that there's 6 nominations in that category, and they're only from 3 games.
Yeah.
So you've got 3 from Baldur's Gate, 2 from Spider-Man 2, and then you've got Cameron in Jedi Survivor.
I don't like that, like, there's multiple ones. I suppose it's tricky because with Baldur's Gate 3, I think how I understand it is that you can start the game with, like, different characters. So I can see how, like, okay, each character is technically a leading role. Spider-Man 2, okay, I can see it. There is 2 leading roles in there, so I still get that. But
that makes sense.
Yeah, I do think it's a little heavy on the Baldur's Gate. Like, could they have not? Could no one else have paid that up? Like, well, I feel a bit bad for Ben Starr. Who did Final Fantasy 16?
Yeah, he presented one of the awards, and he was very funny.
Yeah, he's a funny bloke. I've got him on Twitter. He's there's one where, like, there's a meme. I think it was at, like, the Game Awards, and, like, a bright light just hit him, and he's just got, like, the most dead, like, panned face, just looking while there's bright lights on him. It's funny.
As I say, it was a good night for Viewfinder. Came away with two awards. I don't think
that's good.
I don't think they were really expecting much. So they got Best British Game, which is good.
Yeah, I looked at that list and I thought, out of American, American Viewfinder, I'll pick it up.
And then they also won the Best New Intellectual Property.
I was surprised by that one. I thought Iron Fire Rush might have picked that
one. Yeah, that's got a good list of competitors in that. Dave the Diver's done well. Dredge has been pretty well. And High Fire Rush. So, yeah, it's done well there.
I think multiplayer I was a bit surprised by. I think Super Mario Bros. Was going to pick that one.
Yeah, when you've got Baldur's Gate 3 and Diablo 4 in there.
Yeah, I think even like all the other ones I would have probably picked over Super Mario Bros. So I always thought it's just I suppose it's not just co-op. I think there's a little bit more to it, but game design I was quite shocked actually. Dave the Diver.
Well, I've not played Dave the Diver yet, so I don't really know the mechanics of it. So maybe it's introduced something that I'm not really aware of.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, it's of no surprise at all. Baldur's Gate 3 has taken the
title. It's just picking everything up. I mean, fair play to it. It's probably one of those like once-in-a-lifetime games that you play.
But you know, with that win, Baldur's Gate 3 has become the first game ever to win Game of the Year at the Golden Joysticks, the Game Awards, DICE Awards, the GDC, and the BAFTAs.
Wow.
That's quite something, isn't it?
Yeah, I always think with BAFTA, they always seem to kind of go against like the popular vote, but fair play.
Yeah,
I really don't want to talk about Evolving Game again. I feel like the criteria for that should.
I mean, I can see why
rule Cyberpunk out of it, but
yeah, I can see why they put it in, but it's just it's not really evolving. They've done a major update. That's it. It's not really evolving. Saying that I don't like the category of evolving game to begin with, to be honest. But
to be fair, the actual word in evolving, I think for once I might give Cyberpunk a pass on that one, because I see at least the word evolving is like it's changed mechanically. Like Cyberpunk did change a lot mechanically with its latest update, didn't it? It's a completely different game now. How you level up, how things work and stuff. So to a degree, I can I'll give it to you there. I think my big gripe was that when it was ongoing, it stopped after that update. Like there's no, technically they've had a couple updates, but when I hear ongoing, I'm like, okay, it's probably a live service game or it's some sort of multiplayer game. Like see why No Man's Sky is always in there. I can see why Genshin Impact is in there. I can see why Fortnite's there. Final Fantasy 14 is always there every year. Forza Horizon 5 is a bit of a wild card.
I just don't like the category.
You just don't like the category. Well done for adding updates.
Because it's always just the same games in the list.
It is, isn't it?
It's like if you have an evolving game, it's always going to be on the list because it's always going to be evolving.
True.
It's just like Fortnite. I'm sick of seeing Fortnite here all the time. No Man's Sky.
That's because it's always evolving.
It's just like it's a nothing category. It's just we should be celebrating new games each year. We're not yet. It's the same game that just keeps going on and on and on. It's just like it's had its time. Sure, it's still popular, but you know, we don't need to be giving them awards now. They've had their moment. It's just get rid of it. Pointless.
Right, well, might be a good time now to announce that we picked our nominations for these awards, didn't we?
We did very quickly.
Very, very quickly, yes. Pretty much about 15 minutes before the actual ceremony started.
Yes.
Now, I've not counted up, but...
Well, I have.
Have you? I'm going to assume you probably won.
Well, shall we run through it? So,
yeah.
In third position... I've said that very weirdly. Third position...
Yeah.
It's Nathan.
Oh,
he got two.
Two. To be fair, he
picks with his heart though, doesn't he?
He didn't think about it as much. He was just like, right, I'm just gonna pick what I like and go for it. So, any fair play to him.
I'll tell you what he won. He won game design. He picked the Diver.
I know. I was shocked in that.
And he got narrative for Baldur's Gate 3 as well. In second place, you, Matthew, with 7th. You did well.
I knew it was going to be me. I think there was a couple where I was like, I think this should win rather than going for the usual Baldur's Gate 3 or Alan Wake 2. Because it seems to be it's just one of those two that's winning all these awards.
Yeah, you've just got to think about how they would do it. But yeah, so I had the most with 10.
10?
Although I think I got off to a good start. I think I got the first 3 awards. I was like, oop.
I think you got animation, didn't you?
Yeah.
I was shocked Hi-Fi Rush won that. I really thought Spider-Man 2 were going to get that one. Yeah. Because Alan Wake 2 winning it. Audio. I was a little surprised Alan Wake actually won that one. Because some of the stuff that I heard with audio, it's like, apparently Zelda does something with audio that like no other game does.
I just think horror games are a good shout when it comes to audio.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. I was happy I got British game. I thought Viewfinder would go for that.
And I'm glad it was. I really want to play that game, Viewfinder. I've had my eye on it ever since before it came out. And I've actually bought it. I'm just
not
playing it yet.
I was surprised Cocoon didn't come away with any awards, considering I think it won some at the Game Awards and DICE one. So.
Yeah, good.
Shocked on that one. Family wasn't too surprised about. Game Beyond Entertainment. It's always a toss-up, really, with that one. I never really know which one to go for on those, so I just pick what I think seems
It's because obviously each one's probably got its own like little personal story, and we just, unless you played it, you don't know what that story is. So
true.
You can't really guess much, can you?
Surprised you didn't get the narrative one. With Zelda.
I'd say something different.
Cool, yeah. I really thought EE as well. I thought we'd been the actual volume one, the mind should go with Cyberpunk, but no. So it was Baldur's Gate.
None of us got any of the Axiom roles.
I know, I was shocked with that one.
Starfield got 1 nomination. Being there. Technical achievement.
I could see it. I mean, I wasn't going to win anything, but I could see it.
No.
Really surprised Final Fantasy 16 didn't appear anywhere. But then they don't do any of the genre awards either. There's no like, oh, here's best for like RPG, sports, that kind of stuff. It's just...
Yeah.
Small technical awards.
I don't mind that, though.
No, I don't mind. I think it keeps it separate from the Game Awards.
So let's be honest, when you get to the Game Awards, they just get randomly reeled off anyway, and they don't pay any attention to them. It's like, just Jeff Keighley's just going to stand here, sprout all that, and it is your award. Right, on to the next one. That's kind of how it goes.
Right, here's a world from here.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes.
Well, that's all we care about at Game Awards now, don't we?
Because this did actually feel like a proper award segment, which I liked.
They always do, though, with BAFTAs, don't they? They treat it like it's a real award show.
And each person actually got time to speak. And it wasn't a long segment. It was 2 hours and 15 minutes long, I think.
Which is
a good length of time for an award ceremony. Everyone got their moment. Everyone who won. It wasn't full with ads or stuff like that. But overall, it was a good ceremony, I thought.
Good. Some worthy winners.
Yeah. And I wasn't disappointed with anyone, I have to say.
Hmm.
But yeah. There we go. Well, thank you very much, Matt. I'll see you next week, along with Nathan, I presume. We'll be back next Tuesday. You can follow us across social media. Find Joker Dolphin on YouTube and Facebook, as well as on Instagram and Twitter at Joker Dolphin. Until next time, thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Take care.